Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And you?
Doing okay this morning. Well, I know it's not morning there for you, but it's morning here.
Monday morning.
Yeah, Monday morning.
Oh, okay. So let's see how many members we are today. Screen. So, I talked with our backend developer about the COP 1020, and he said it's okay that we do this, but we have to prepare the harvester. So for this, and so that's the reason why it is an item for today, the redesign of the harvester. So, and if we have time, we can also look at the roadmap again, and then have to see how many we are today. Then we can discuss the other points.
Okay.
Okay, so it is 1 minute after the time. And so, yeah, we can, I think we should start, and the rest can look at recording later.
Okay.
So, yeah, the design of the harvester, the needs to be redesigned. So, because the backend developers said that we need more conditions inside the backend program to meet the new requirements. And the new requirements are the several COP codes that we want to handling very different, and then are new requirements like the multiple harvester accounts per provider, and also new API endpoints for analyzes error codes. And so the conclusion was of the discussion that we have to redesign the backend of the harvester. So, and it is still under discussion. So, and we created a first draft of the data flow, and you can see the data flow here as a picture. And so, zoom out. Oops, it's okay. I hope you can see it. This is the first draft. So, when the harvester starts to harvest the report and an exception occurs, then the harvester should ask, is it a COP exception or not? Because sometimes you have HTML responses from the server that are not really COP exceptions. And so it makes sense to make a difference between COP exceptions and the rest. And if you not have a COP exception, then it goes like in the past, you have a maximum number of attempts. And if it's reached, then a red cross appears in the statistic table, and then it ends, or the harvester retry again to harvest the report, and maybe there is a COP exception with the next try. So, and then if you have a COP exception, it goes the new way through the data flow. And the first step is to check the release version of the COP, because sometimes the structure of the response is very different between the releases from counter. And so we have to look which counter release version we have. And after that, we can look inside the data, and then we can handle the exception. This point, yeah, it's marked to does it make sense? Because I'm not entirely sure if it makes sense to check is the release version known. So
Yeah, well, because so you have it going back to a maximum number of attempts. So like if the release number is not known, it's treating that as an error. Yeah. Well, that's probably right, I think. Because
And
if
at
it's
this
not,
point.
if it doesn't have the release number on the report, then it's a problem, right? Like, yeah.
Or if you have a new release number in the response from the server.
Yeah.
Okay. So you mean it makes sense to have this step inside the data flow?
I think so. I mean, I guess it probably wouldn't happen very often that there wouldn't be a release number or at all, maybe. I don't know.
Did you
Well,
saw something like that?
I've never seen it. I've never seen counter data come in with no release number on the report. I've never seen that. I mean, but maybe that happens. I'm not sure. Have you seen that before? No.
I'm not, no. So, but we can also ask Bernd if he's back,
Yeah.
and maybe he saw something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, and if it's known, the read, then
Well, it makes sense to check the release number because it is going to the exceptions are going to be different, right? That does make sense. Yeah. Okay.
but this step means that you check, do really know the release number, or is it an unknown release number for the harvester?
Yeah, that would
So,
be unlikely. I think that would be unlikely. I think the harvester would be able to, because it's in the heading of the report.
yes, that's right.
Yeah.
So, okay, the next step should be to extract the parts of the exception message. That's also what we discussed in the last meeting, that we would like to expand the message to different subfields. Then we can save these response as a JSON with the structures subfields. Where you can find the code, the message, and data field as a subfield. And yeah. And then we have to check if is the COP code known. So, and if it's a new number and the harvester don't know the COP code, then we should have an a way to handle these new codes that we don't know with the harvester. And yeah, we can discuss how it looks like at the end, and then we can implement it in the harvester, and so we can see it in a statistic table or in another way. And it can be a red cross at the end. So, but it could also be another solution.
Okay. Yeah. When it says C Jira issue, what is that?
It means there is no Jira issue yet, so but
Okay.
we should create something if
Create
we
one.
discussed it here in the subgroup.
Yeah. Okay.
And
Maybe a red cross would be nice.
yeah, maybe. And if the COP code is known by the harvester, then there should be a individual behavior. According to the COP code, that's what we created as the shear issues for each COP code. And here we can define should the harvester retry to harvest the data or not. And if it should not retry to harvest the data, then there's also an individual handling. That we can define.
Okay.
And
Just
yeah.
back to the COP code thing, I think there should be maybe some kind of tooltip or some kind of display if it's unknown, where it says like unknown error or something like that and gives the code.
Okay.
Just like so that the end user can be like, oh yeah, okay, so this error is not like we're not aware, and then they can maybe go look it up to see if they can figure out what it is. It's
Sounds
like
so.
unknown error, and just like, call in with the code number or something like that.
Sounds good. So, I take it with me, and yeah, and it's just draft. So we can talk about each point here in the data flow. And if we should extend the diagram, then we can do it. And okay, and if we say, okay, if it's an example for now, it's 1020. So if you have a COP code with 1020, then you said, okay, it should not retry again to harvest the data because it's the COP error code for too many requests. So it does not make sense to retry again. So we have an individual handling for the COP code. Okay, and in other ways, for other COP codes where we would like to try again to harvest the data, then we have a next step for counting in the background. So at the moment you have a counter for all attempts. So, but we have some COP codes where you say, okay, it makes sense to count these attempts, and sometimes it doesn't make sense. So, and here we have a little condition where we can say, okay, for this COP code, you should count this step or not. So if it should not attempt, it should attempt and it should count. Sorry. So then you get an orange exclamation mark. And after that, it repeats again, but it not counting in the background. So, and
So it's
it
not counting again in the background because it's not going to make another attempt until the next.
yes, and it's an infinity circle at the end, and we
So
should careful.
it only counts if it's like making another attempt right now. Then it
But
has to count.
it's we should very careful with this way. So because it's infinity. So, and
So why wouldn't it count the attempt? I guess that's the part I don't understand. If it's cycling back through.
let's see. Where we had this.
I mean, I'm sure there's a perfect, like, I'm sure it makes perfect sense. I just don't, yeah, I just, it's a little of that. I just, maybe it's a,
Retry count. Here. Requester not authorized access service.
right.
So, or API key
Yeah, okay,
in
so it's
the
not counting because
yeah.
it's not even gonna work.
So that's the case where we should not count in the background.
That makes sense because it's not like the sushi, the sushi server is not, they're
Available.
not counting the requests at that point because they're not, because you're not authenticating, right? Okay, that makes sense.
And then the usual way where we counting and then yeah. But here we can integrate a new step where we can differ between the different COP codes and then have an individual handling of the code. Yeah, that's the first draft. So I know it you need time to analyze this, and maybe we can talk about this in the next meeting, and you can write some comments here in the meeting notes if you have more ideas what we should add to this data flow. And it's an open discussion. So we have now the time where we redesign the harvester, and I also talk with our developers again in the next week, and they have also some inputs for me. And if we can finalize this data flow until the end of December, then it should be good.
Sounds
Oh,
good.
I see we have Bernd here. Hello, Bernd. Oh, we can't hear you.
Sorry, I was in another meeting. I didn't expect the meeting to start an hour earlier.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Now we finish with the explanation of this data flow. I make it short because we need a redesign of the harvester Bernd, to meet the new requirements. We need a new structure to handling the error codes, the different error codes. And for this, we should expand the back end from the harvester. And here is the first draft that we can discuss. And if you have ideas what we should add or remove from this data flow, then we can talk about this, and we can update this data flow together. And As you can see, we have a new way how we would like to handle these COP exceptions. At the first step, we would like to differ between is it a COP exception or not? And if it's not, then it's the usual way. And if it's an COP exception, then we have a new round here and on. And here you see at the first step, we check the release version. And Jason and I are not entirely sure if it makes sense after this step where we check the release version, if it makes sense to also check the release version. Is it known or not for the harvester? Did you see an report where the release version are not valid?
Oh, I just realized if there's a new release version that comes out, then the harvester wouldn't know it, right? So like if we're at like 5.2 or whatever, or 6 in the future, then the harvester wouldn't know it.
Yeah, the first thing, first of all, you can only house what you know.
Right.
So if the response, I hear an echo, which is this is actually the first thing you should check, the release. If the release you get matches what you've requested. Because if it's not, if it's a different report, that's a serious error and you should stop any processing. So that's what we do. The first thing we do is we check whether the response matches our request. If it doesn't, that's a problem and we stop processing. That's not just the release, if the release would be wrong, but also if, for example, we get a report, a title report while we've requested a database report. Or what ha has happened several times in the past, we get a report for a wrong institution. That's really interesting, but that happens. So we check, for example, if the customer ID or the institution ID in the report matches what we've requested. If the filters are what we requested. We check all these parameters to make sure that we get the report we've actually requested. And if we don't, that's a fatal error. We simply stop processing.
Interesting. So,
This happens rarely, but it happens. So it's sometimes confusing when you get a wrong report. And my impression is this happens because the report providers somehow queue the requests and the responses, and under certain circumstances you get the wrong response from the queue. As I said, it's rare, but it happens. And not getting the data you want because, for example, there are elements missing that you've requested. That happens much more often. So this is also good to check. If you, for example, if you have asked for specific attributes to show, you should make sure they're actually in the report. Is this flow, this graphic, is it in the wiki or?
Yeah, it's an picture inside the meeting notes, and
Okay, it's in the meeting notes
but I
because
can
my.
also share an draw.io diagram.
No, the meeting notes, that's fine. I just wanted to have a bigger screen to look at that than on my iPad that I use for the video conferences.
I can also add an XML file for try.io for you, and then you can analyze the diagram. And if you have more ideas, then we can talk about in the next meeting about this, because it takes time. It needs time to analyze these data flow. And yeah, I also talked with Jason before you came into the meeting, and we have here some points where we check some other things, because if you have the version, you also need a question: is the COP code known by the harvester? So, and if it's not, we should also have an solution how the harvester should handle these in usage. And Jason, you said there should be a filter where you can see, okay, there are some new COP error exceptions.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, if it's unknown, it would be nice to see some kind of display where it just says unknown error code and gives the code or something like that, so that someone can go look it up.
Yeah, actually, there should be no unknown error codes. But I know that some publishers have actually invented their own codes. Sometimes they might conflict with what we have planned, even. So if you really have an unknown or an invalid, I would say, code, because there might be error codes below 1,000. Those are just for information or for debugging. That's fine. Everybody can use them, but that's not an error. That's simply additional information for the report, or should be. If such a custom code is used instead of the standard code, that would be a serious error. You have to use the standard codes for those invocation criteria given in the code of practice.
Okay, that could be a good solution for these two rows here.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. The more problematic version is when you encounter, for example, an exception 3033, which doesn't exist. What should you do with it? You don't know what has gone wrong, so you cannot do that automatically. You probably need some process where somebody can look at that exception and say, well, that's okay, or that's actually an error.
Okay.
I don't think there's a way to handle that automatically.
Okay, it should be handled by the user.
Yes. The question is if, yeah, some for our national statistics service, we would, if we encounter such a custom exception, we would add a rule how this exception should be handled. Because getting the report provider to change the exception to the standard exception sometimes is difficult. So we have to deal with a large number of reports with this custom exception. And what we actually do is add a rule how to handle that. But I'm not sure that's really appropriate for Folio to have something that complex that you, as a user, you can configure how to handle exceptions.
Yeah, I am. Here's a step where you can see individual handling CGR issue. That means that we create an requirement together here in the subgroup for this point. And so we don't have to finalize this today. So because we can do this in the next meetings. It's just today the data flow, and I also have to discuss this with the developers, and they also have inputs for me. And it takes a while and some rounds to talk about this. And maybe I can also talk with the developers that they can attend the meetings here. And so we have a direct conversation with them. And it makes easier because I'm sitting between the chairs and have to communicate all. So it's better if we can talk directly together.
The COP exception box means if there is an exception or there's no exception.
Here.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if there's no exception, why would you check if the na maximum number of attempts has been reached? Because if there's no ex ah, sorry. The first box is there is an exception. And then you check if it's a COP exception or not. Okay. And if it's not,
Yeah.
would you simply retry?
Sometimes you have the HTML response from the server, and for example, you just have the wrong URL, service URL, and then you update the data record in usage, then it tries again, and then it can harvest the report and but
Okay, so we're not just talking about handling the exceptions that are returned by a sushi server or in a report, but we talk about handling any kind of exception that can occur.
Yes.
Okay. So in that case, the wrong release version would be an exception. Anything that is wrong in the report would also be an exceptional case that needs to be handled. But the handling is completely different in that case because you won't even get to the point where you can check if it's a COP exception or not.
Okay, that means here this arrow should be deleted and we should integrate
Well,
an individual handling.
the handling it would be different depending on what type of error occurred. So you could have, for example, you get an HTML page back instead of a JSON. That would be one error. You get a wrong report back, whatever is wrong in the report. That would be one kind of error. You always have. Well, the question is if you get a wrong report or if you get an HTML page, if you actually want to retry, or if you let the user handle that case, that they can check was maybe what the URL was wrong, or there's something the publisher is down at the moment. So when you get an HTML page and you retry, you probably will get the HTML page again. If you get a wrong report, that's a different issue. That might be a permanent error because the publisher simply doesn't return the report you want. Or it could be a single error because you get a wrong report, actually a report for another institution or another report than the one you requested. And that's something that should be reported to the publisher, so that should not be handled automatically. So I probably first would break down this exception into some cases that can be handled in the same way, and having actually a report or a response that includes a code of practice exception is one of the cases, and all the handling that follows, it's especially in the lower part, that's just for the COP exceptions.
Yes.
And the release version, and if something is seriously wrong, that's a separate step, in my opinion. that maybe also could point then to these individual handling. You have to look at that as a user. And retrying, that's a different issue. We've already discussed that there are some exceptions where you should retry, and there are some exceptions where you simply shouldn't retry, where somebody has to look at that. Error, for example, if you get an exception 2010, your credentials are not valid, it makes no sense to retry because the error will not change. If you get, of course, a 3031 exception, which means the publisher was simply not ready to deliver the reports, that it makes sense to retry if you wait longer.
And the goal is that we have an individual behavior to the COP codes, and so we can define each COP code. So, and at the moment, we have only one exception handling for all errors, and we would like to add an behavior for each code. And the behavior, maybe if you want, we can also integrate a setting page where you can define by yourself the handling, or we can also hard code this in the back end.
My suggestion was to actually group them together, but of course you could, if you can configure the action that happens depending on the code, that's essentially the grouping, because you can use the same action for different exception codes. And actually, if you have a simple web interface where you can select an action from a drop down and maybe something like a wait period if you want to retry, that might do actually. The actions would be predefined. So if somebody needs a different action, or if we need different actions, you would have to add one in a release or in a service patch. But that could work. We have, for our National Statistics Server, we have a configuration file essentially where we include this information. And maybe the interesting part is the handling is at least to some degree dependent on the usage data host.
It can only a setting for a usage data provider, not a general setting.
Well, no, the problem is we might handle, for example, a 3031 exception differently for Springer and De Gruyter.
That's what I meant.
Ah, okay.
So
Because what no, there are some cases where you will simply ignore an error because you know that this happens for this usage data provider, usage data host. For other cases, you will simply stop harvesting if that error occurs because that's not a usual error for that host.
And Bernd, as you can see, we have here a step where we would like to extract the parts of the exception message. And that is what you gave to me for some weeks, that we have to expand the JSON for errors inside usage. And the draft is up here as an Jira issue, and what
Yeah, that's
we
essentially the additional data element.
yeah
Yeah.
and yeah we would like to add a new key with the object where you can find subfields, code, message, data, help. Well, I'm not sure if we can integrate this, but we can try it. And data.
I think it would be helpful because some usage data hosts don't actually send a data, but they send a help URL that points to a web site where you can find an explanation for that exception. So I think it would be helpful to have both.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's here, this step. Okay. Yeah. And then here we have some different endpoints. So, and for each endpoint, we have an individual handling inside the COP handling. And but we have an infinity circle here, and we have we have to handle this very carefully. So because the harvester in this way, the harvester tries the to download the data, and we have no endpoint for this case here. If the counts the counting will not be happened for the attempts, then we have a problem because here is not an endpoint for this case. Do you
So
understand
that's
what I meant?
I understand. Yeah,
Yeah.
get back to the start. But the yeah, that's the case where I've recommended that you shouldn't count the attempts. Because if you count the attempt, you always have an endpoint. I would have to go back and check what the cases were where I've actually recommended not to count the let me check. That's
Yeah,
in
it's API key invalid, for example. Or
Yeah, but that's a case where you shouldn't retry
okay, yes, okay.
because it makes no sense. You will get the same error again.
Okay, we try. Okay, we have to check if there is a
Yeah,
combination with yes or no.
I think mo in most cases, these were missing API keys, API key invalid, things like that, where I said it makes no sense to retry, but you have to also don't have to count the attempt, because once the user fixes the, or you have to reset the count once the user fixes the issue, and changes the data. But actually, if you don't count the attempt, you shouldn't retry probably.
Okay, yeah, also okay, we need to check if there is a combination with
Yeah.
no and no.
And there shouldn't be actually.
Yes and no. So okay, yeah. Let's think about this point here, about these steps. And I have no example for this now.
Okay, yeah, I've just checked the list. This is actually for cases like exception 1000, 1010, service not available or service busy. And for it's always when the server is not able to actually return a response. Those are the cases. That's 1000, 1010, 1011, and 1020. Service not available, service busy, report queued for processing, and client has made too many requests.
So, okay, but we can define an individual handling here. at the end here. That's this point. Repeat attempt. Individual time span until new attempt according to the COP code. So that can be defined in the settings, maybe. So
Yeah, you could also think about something like a much higher, something like the retry count, but something else that then finally terminates that circle in case you have too many requests. Usually the number is quite low, so for example, if you have this service busy, this might actually be an issue for some days or not available. But we even have had some cases where it took months until the service became available again. And of course, it doesn't make sense if this is a long-lasting event that you retry every 10 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah, actually, we don't have that issue in our national statistics server platform because we trigger the harvesting and look at the result.
Okay.
So we have some, of course, some automatic retries. If the, for example, for exception 1011, but if the process wouldn't terminate, we would terminate it at some point, and that's probably not practical for Folio. It has to work automatically. The user doesn't have to actually intervene to stop the harvesting.
Yeah, 10L.
Yeah, actually, there are three cases where I have in the retro try count column have a no with a question mark because I wasn't sure. Maybe you could simply remove it and say, yes, we retry, and if we reach the limit, that's it. The more tricky case is 1011. Because it might take some time before you get the report. And the question, if you really want to run into the failed state, if the maximum number of attempts has been reached. In that case, yeah, might be actually okay for if you're harvesting just the usage for a single institution. If we do that for 200 institutions, that's a more serious issue. If we have all those harvesters or all these tasks, as we call them, in an error state.
Yeah, and if you say, okay, try it after 10 minutes and it's not counting, then it tries off the whole
Yeah, actually, we had a case where our system tried for 3 days until it got the reports.
Okay,
That could happen. That's not what happens usually, but things like that happen. We had actually a usage data house who had an issue, and it took, well, I've started the harvesting Friday, and the last reports were delivered on Monday afternoon with an enormous number of retries.
Okay, do you have performance issues with that, or is it
No.
no?
It simply comes back. This is these are standalone exceptions. So the server actually doesn't have to do much. If the server has an issue, it simply returns that response. That's not a lot of processing required for the server. And for the client also, that's not an issue. We even store the information of all these attempts, and that's what I don't like to have in the system if we need several hundred. But the solution in our case would be to delete the reports and all the logs associated with it and simply reharvest to get a clean system. Yeah, but I see the problem with the retry but don't count. Maybe you should have a higher limit for these cases, something like that. If you want to make that configurable, you can could actually add a limit for the code, not just a single limit. Not sure if that's an option.
It's an open discussion. We
Yeah.
can we can add anything.
Yeah, the problem is that at some point this gets too complex for the users.
Yeah, but it could be possible to add here a step where we check if it's an 10-elf, then we can say okay, we make here make possible to configure this step the maximum attempts. And yeah, and maybe if the user says, okay, after 30 attempts, it should stop. And then we can make here an case condition that it yeah ends to an to this point here,
Yeah,
so
actually,
it's an yeah.
if we go that way and say we always count, we wouldn't have those count attempts, no, at all. We would simply have different limits,
Yep.
which would make the logic simpler.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let me think about this. And yeah, I shared this draft with you, and I have an do you need a draw.io file or XML file?
Do you want me to edit the
If you want, or we can discuss this in the next meetings together.
Yeah, I think it's easier to discuss in the next meeting because I'm not sure how much time I will have on the next weeks
Okay.
to actually. Yeah, I certainly I can look at it in more detail and think about that and also think about the recommendation regarding how these different exceptions should be handled based on this information now. And yeah, I think this concern about having an endless loop, that's a valid concern. So we should really try to avoid that.
Yeah, and we have to reprioritize the roadmap. So, because the first step is to make the redesign of the harvester, and after that we can go over to the COP code handling. We can discuss the handling here in the subgroup and create also the issues for that. And after the new backend is ready, then we can work on these issues for the COP code handling. And so I think yeah, Trillium
So, yeah, what do you actually need to handle the exceptions then? That's mostly configuration and some actions that you need to provide. I think we have a few actions that we use for handling the exceptions in our platform. That's essentially things like ignore, acknowledge, retry after some time, This, yeah, I would have to look this up, but there's nothing very special in that wouldn't fit into what you've suggested. So the actions actually are quite simple. Well, the main part actually is the implementation of the changes in the backend. If you have that, everything else should be much easier. The user interface, of course, is another big thing.
The Trivium release is delayed,
Yeah.
so it's the new date is for spring, but in the PO meeting we discussed a feature freeze appointment. So, and the discussion was really good, and Owen makes the suggestions that the feature freeze is the end of the year, and so we have time to implement new things until the end of the year. So, but yeah,
That's not much time.
in my opinion, it's more to see that it's an umbrella leaf.
Yeah.
So it's in the mid of the next year.
Well, that probably also would be delayed if the Trillium is released in spring. So yeah, it would be great to have this, of course, in Trillium. The question is, do we actually want to wait until the next meeting in November before we continue this discussion, or do we want to meet earlier so that maybe this could be included in Trillium?
Let me talk about with the developers.
Yeah, it
So,
depends on how many other things you have to do. If you actually have the time to do that now, it would be good actually to come to a conclusion how to implement the backend much earlier than maybe in at the end of November.
But yeah, okay. I talk with the developers, and then we should meet again in this year. And so let me see, in 4 weeks, right. The December 1, so it's a good day for you for our
That
next
would be
meeting.
possible, but what I meant actually is that we meet earlier,
Earlier.
possible once you've talked to the developers. If they say, okay, this will not be possible to do this until the end of the year, then we can meet on a regular schedule. If the developers say, yes, we would like to try to get this into Trillium and be ready at the end of the year, then we should meet much earlier. Actually, to discuss how the design should what the design should look around. Be because otherwise, if we wait 4 weeks, they lose all that time for the implementation.
We can meet again in 2 weeks or in 4 weeks.
No, 2 weeks is not possible for me. That would be November 10th. I'm on vacation in that week.
Okay, and November 24.
That would be possible. No, November 17th also would be possible for me. The
Yeah,
24th doesn't work for me, but that's okay. I don't necessarily have to be there.
So, Jason, which day is not possible for you?
The 24th of November.
Okay. Vacation time for
Yeah.
so, okay, then we okay, if it's okay for you, Jason, then we meet on November 24,
Yeah.
and it's all sessions are recorded, so
Yeah.
yeah. Okay, then we make this as the next meeting, November 24. I'm not sure what's the, we say 10 a.m. Eastern time. So because we are already in winter time in Europe, so and I'm not
Yeah.
sure which time is it for us,
Y'all
and
can
it's
do
10
whatever
a.m.
time works for you because I'm gonna be out
Yeah,
anyways.
the US will be on the regular time next week, so should be six hours the time difference again.
Okay.
I think the folio meetings probably are all 1 hour earlier this week. I have to take that into account, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great discussion for today. And
Okay, I will look
in
at the workflow and see if I can come up with something. Maybe the don't send me the XML file. I need something that I could visualize. I'm not sure if the other format is more appropriate.
And Bernd, if you have time,
Yeah.
then you could also look at this requirement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will look at our own configuration for our system, what we do for the different exceptions. What I've put into the wiki, the recommendation is mostly based on what we do in our platform. So but I especially think about these different types of exceptions or errors that can occur, how to handle them, and the avoiding a loop, an endless loop. Yeah.
Yeah, and this requirement here is another one. It has a little relationship to the requirement here. We would like to integrate multiple harvester accounts per provider. So
Yeah, I've wondered if that's actually necessary because you can create two usage data providers for the same platform
Yeah, that
with different releases. That's, in my opinion, that would be a much cleaner approach.
Yeah, we saw this in other solutions like Alma from Ex Libris, and it is a good solution to for some for some of our stakeholders to handle these different counter releases inside and provider. But you have also the option to create a provider per release. So
Yeah.
that's the point also for your requirement for the statistics server in the future.
Yeah. The problem with having multiple accounts is that you must be able to disable them individually. So, and if you have a list of all the usage data providers, what would you show? Would you show a list of the releases?
Yeah, there are some questions. So it, and we also discussed this in a refinement with the developers, and there also came some questions. And
Yeah,
so because there are some conflicts in the configuration. So if you would like to integrate this.
Yeah, I'm not sure about I saw that requirement, but I'm not sure if that's a really good idea. I would handle that in different usage data providers.
Okay.
For in based on my experience with the Well, actually, in our platform, we handle that in one, unless the platform changes. So, for example, Springer would be one usage data host or provider in that case. And but Gale has switched from a I don't know what they had previously, but now they are on Scholarly IQ. And so that might be reason for us to actually have a separate one, especially if the old one still provides usage data. We also have cases where the usage data from two usage data hosts for the same publisher overlap. That's an interesting case. And that's definitely one where we would define in our platform different usage data providers. And yeah, there are good reasons, I think, for both approaches. I find it easier to have a separate usage data provider because you can better filter on that, say which one supports 5.1, for example, things like that. It's much easier if you don't have to dig into the actual configuration of the usage data provider to actually see if it has an account with release 5.1. But yeah,
Yeah,
maybe that's what I'm used to. So,
different requirements from
yeah.
different users.
Yeah, did you actually get the requirement to have multiple accounts for the same release for the same platform?
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, that's
Because
always a problem, but most users don't understand what the actual problem is, that they won't get a consolidated usage report if they have multiple accounts. And we actually don't do that in our platform. We always say if you have multiple accounts, please ask the provider to consolidate them. Because otherwise you have overlapping usage, you will never be able to sort that out.
Yeah, that was also a point from our front-end developer that there could be conflicts in the configuration, so.
Yeah, we actually had one case where the usage data provider said, well, or the publisher in that case said, well, we cannot consolidate your accounts.
Really?
Yeah, but the problem is I knew what system they were running, and I know that it's possible in that system to consolidate accounts. So they didn't want to do that for whatever reason, but they could have done it. But they have refused, and that was really an issue for us because we didn't get a proper usage report for the platform. And the usage report actually overlapped, so we didn't know what duplicate usage we had in the reports.
Okay. I see. We have some points to discuss. And so, but step by step. So, and so yeah, then we meet again in November 24 at the same time. So, and if you need more informations about the data flow, then contact me and I give you an a hint if I get the answer from the developers.
Yeah, I really would like to discuss this maybe on Slack before the next meeting so that we can come to a conclusion, especially when the if the developers say they want to tackle this task before the end of the year.
Yeah, we have to see.
Okay.
Good. Thank you all for today. And
Yeah, I thought somebody might join at 4 p.m. our time, but it didn't happen.
I used the time zone function for the next meeting.
Okay.
Good. Then see
Right.
you.
You.
Bye.
Bye.